First, I apologize. 4 weeks ago, I didn't know in advance that I was going to be leaving Teretz Yisrael. I was notified on Erev Shabbos in the afternoon that the yeshiva switched my ticket to Sunday night. So I wasn't able to tell the people in advance. I apologize about that. Last time we learned, I think we started Malachas Kotzer, and there's a little bit about Kotzer and saying Mishin Lamed Vav. There isn't too much in the Shulchan Aruch. The Mishnah on Daf Tzadikei Amud Aleph has a two-line Mishnah, Machlokes Reb Shimon and the Chachamim. If a person does Kotzer from an Otzitz Nakuv, if you have a flower pot that has a nekev on the bottom, and it's within a reasonable, it's suspended in midair, but it's not 30 feet above the ground. It's not in the clouds. It's near the ground. So we assume that there is a yenika from the ground. If something grows, let's say in Eretz Yisrael, and some vegetables grow, in an Otzitz Nakuv, well, vegetables, the Maisa Yerik is only midirabbanim. So let's say you have Dogen Tirish V'Yitzer. Bizman Hazeh, the Shulchan Aruch Paskens like the Rambam, that Truma Bizman Hazeh is only midirabbanim. That's the question why, but that's what the Rambam writes, that HaTrumah is from Mises, Bizman is Zanim Drabam. But let's say, Bizman Bais Rishon, that everyone agrees that Trumah is Mises was Minatera. So the Gemara says that whatever grows is in a Notzitz Nakuv, we assume is Yainik from the ground, and therefore it's Chayiv in Trumah is Mises, Minatera, and has a din of Shemitah Minatera, because it's Yainik from the ground, so the Peris that grow, have a kedusha as perish vias. If you plant it in a notzitz she'en anokuf, there's no nekev on the bottom, then there's not going to be a yenika from the ground. So the whole chiv chumas amaisis is only midirabbanon, and the whole din of shmita would only be midirabbanon. But midirabbanon, there is a din. Midirabbanon, there is a din of chumas amaisis and shmita. If you plant it in otzitz she'en anokuf, the terech habayis, so then that's the heta that they have. Let's say you have a matzah minutak, you have a big concrete on the ground, and then you have on top of the concrete, you have a little offer, and the offer is in a container, in a box, and you plant in that. So that's not, it's not attached to the ground. It's sitting on top of the ground. So that's the most it could be is an otzitz. She'en anokuv, there's no yenika from the ground. So the Yerushalmi says that if you plant it in a house, that even with the Rabbanan, you don't have the chumra, you don't have the din of the gzeira of atzit she'en anokuv, atu atzit anokuv. If it's a matzah menutak mena karka, so you're not chayv in shumas ha-maisris, and it doesn't have the din of shmita, even with the Rabbanan, if it's inside a house, inside a building, and it's not attached to the ground. So here the Mishnah has a machlokes hatanaim. What if a person is kotzer from an otzitz nakuv? Otzitz nakuv, whatever is growing is yonik from the ground. So that's considered as if it's mamish mechubel karka. It's yonik from the ground below. In order to be chayv and shumas amaisis and shmita, has to be yonik from Eretz Yisrael. But in order to violate the dinam of kotzer, of zoreya, it doesn't have to be Eretz Yisrael, can be anywhere in the world. If it's an otzitz nakuv, then it's yonik from the ground. So the offer is considered, the offer in the flower pot is considered like the dogen tirish v'yitzah, the vegetables, whatever's growing in the otzitz nakuv is considered as if it's mechubel karka, it's growing from the ground. As a din, there are different kinyonim for karka and for metaltalim. The way to be kind of karka is kesef shtar or chazoka. The way to be kind of metaltalim is hagbo meshicha. So the Gemara in Gittin, the second parak, has the exact same flower pot. If it's not, it's naku, so it grows inside it, is dinaki, mechuba la karka, dinaki karka. So it's nikta the kesef bishtar bachazoka. If it's not, it's shena naku, it's not dinaki karka. So then it's nikta the kinyon and metaltalim. The exact same flower pot. You can do mashiach on it, you can do hakbo on it. But if it's dina kikarka, then it's not nikta b'hakbo mashiach, it's only nikta b'chazoka. And if it's not dina again, if it's atzitz nakuv, then it's dinik karka, so it's nikna be chazoke. If you dig a little bit, rafak baputa is chazoke. And if it's an atzitz she'ena nakuv, then it's dinik tolush, then it has kinyan mishiach nagod. The exact same flower pot. When it's dinik karka has kinyan karka, it's dinik metaltum has only kinyan metaltum. Because kach nemer halacha, that's what the Pnei Yeshua points out. The Nesiva Zechash Mishpah quotes that Pnei Yeshua and Gitna Nadav and the Chops, that Kinyani Karka don't work on the Talpum, and Kinyani Talpum don't work on Karka, even on Metzias. You can't pick on a Karka Bahakbo. How can I pick up a building? I can't pick up the Karka. But over here, it's a little flower pot. I can pick it up. I can make a Hakbo or Mashiach or a Chazoka, a Rafa Bapurta, no Agora Paras. I can do. But if it's Zinika Karka, then it's only Nikna Bikinyani Karka. Dinika Metalpalim, it's only Nikna Bikinyani Metalpalim. There's only one Kinyan that works both on Karka and Metalpalim, and that's Chalipin. So that shows something about the nature of the Kinyan Chalipin. Why is Chalipin different from all the other Kinyanim? Other Kinyanim, they were Kinyani Karka and they were Kinyani Metalpalim. Kinyani Karka don't work on Metalpalim. Kinyani Metalpalim don't work on Karka. And for some reason or another, the pasuk says in Megillas Rus with respect to Kinyan Chalipin, Zos Lefanim Yisrael Lekayim Kol Dover, is good for anything and everything. So that's why the Gemara understands that Chalipin is good for Karka and Metalpalim. You have to understand why. There are a lot of things that are different about Chalipin, so it shows that Chalipin is a different kind of a Kinyan. Anyway, so here, so if a person will do kotzer from an atzitz nakuv, that's mamish kotzer from a chubel karka. That all the tanoim agree that should be chayv. What if he does kotzer from a notzit she'ena nokuv? But lamais it's growing. Something is growing in the pot. So that's a machlekes tanoim. So Shimon bar Yochai, Shimon is of the opinion that's also if you do katsira, something is growing in the flower pot. So if you do katsira, you chayv mishim kotzer. And we don't accept Reb Shimon's opinion. Yochid v'rab malachik v'rab mipasim like the chachamim. That the iser of kotzer by notzitz she'ein or naku, which is dina ke metaltalim, it's not dina ke karka, so the din is only midirabonim. It's only also midirabonim. What about zorea? What if you plant? You see, zorea and kotzer are not necessarily twin malochas. I think we spoke about that. Mechabo mavir seem to be opposites. Moichek and Koisev seem to be opposites, but it's not really. And Mechaba Mavir, Alpi Pashtas are opposite, it's not the same. Let's say you have a Bunsen burner and you blow out the fire. So you don't have any Pechum left. So that's only Mechaba Mederabonim. You have a Gacheles Shel Mateches. You have a metal that you heat it till it's glowing, and then you pour water on it and you put out the flame. Or you switch off, let's say you have an electric bulb with a filament, so when the light is on, so the heat is going through the filament inside, and it glows. So when you heat metal till it glows, that's called havara. That's Rav Chaim Oizer Paskan, that's a malacha deraisa. To use an electric bulb on Shabbos, that is a malacha deraisa, because the Rambam quotes a Tosefta, that heat metal till it glows, that's a malacha mechabit. That's a malacha of havara, but if you put out the metal that's glowing, turn off the light, or you blow out the Bunsen burner, there is no pechem, there is no charcoal left. So that's only kibui mederabanan, even though it's havara menator, but it's not kibui menator. They're not opposites from each other. Not every time that you would be in violation of mavir, if you put out the fire, is it a violation of mechaber? Mechaber means that you created pechem. If you plan to use the pechem, then it's called a malacha tzvicha legufa. If you don't plan to use the pechem, then it's malacha shein tzvicha legufa. But it's not that the mechab and mavir are opposites from each other. And every time you violate mavir, if you put it out, you mechayiv mishum mechab. It's not so. So here also by kotzer and zareya, it's questionable whether are they opposites from each other. Let's say if you plant in an otzitz she'ein onakuv. If you kotzer from an atzit she'ein onakuv, it's the machlekes satanaim tzarekeim at aleph in Masechta Shabbos. Machlekes Abshim and the Rabbanim, we pass on like the Chachamim, that it's only kotzer from the Rabbanim, it's not kotzer from the Torah. But the Menachas Chinuch quotes from the Sefer Magen Avos. Magen Avos is a Sefer on the Avos Melachos by Rav Mordechai Bennett, I think. It's a thin little Sefer on the Avos Melachos. Menachas Chinuch quotes it a lot in his section on Parshas Yisroel. On the Melachos of Shabbat, has a whole kuntres, a long section, the Menachas Chinuch on the Lamed Tes Avos Melachos. It quotes a lot from the Magen Avos. So the Magen Avos has a suffix, maybe even though kotzir from an otzit she'ein anokul, there's only the Rabbana, maybe Zareya, if you plant an otzit, then maybe that'll be their Isa. They may not necessarily be told is that kotzir and Zareya. In fact, the simple reading, take a look in Shin Lamed Vav, Sif Yud Aleph, the Shulchan Aruch quotes a Gemara, Hashor echita masor in kotzim be'mamayim. I have kernels of grain, and I put them in water because I want them to sprout. And they will sprout. So the Mechaber quotes the Gemara, Harizah told us Areya Bechayev Bekol Shehu. That's a Melacha Deraisa. That's a Melacha Deraisa. But you only put it in water. It's not an offer that's Mechubel HaKarka. I have a pot, and I soak it in water, and it's going to sprout. So it sounds from the simple reading of the Gemara that in order to violate Zareya, you don't need that. It should be an Otzitz Nokuf. It could be there's a Tosfos in the first parak in Gittim, the Gemara talks about a Sfina Gosheshes. If you have a boat, and there's offer in the bottom of the boat, and you planted something in the boat, and the boat, so when the boat is floating in the Atlantic and the Pacific, then it's Afar Chutzlor. When the boat is floating in Eretz Yisrael, so maybe it's if it, the offer, whatever you planted in the offer in the boat, maybe it's the earning from the ground below. And maybe it's dinik mechuber. So the Tosfos has a discussion: what material is the boat made from? So they have different opinions in Tosfos, opposites from each other. The Bali Tosfos want to distinguish between a kli, the otzis. What material is the otzis made from? Is it made from eitz or is it made from cheres? So one opinion is that if it's made from cheres, it's not yonek. Even if it's an otz, it's nakuv. Again. There's one opinion, though. I said it all wrong. Tosfos has two opinions in the first parak in Gittin by Sfina Gosheshes in the beginning of the first parak. So there's one opinion that if it's made from cheres, it's yonik. The offer in the boat, whatever is planted in the offer in the boat, will be yonik from the karka below, even if it's an otz, it's she'en nakuv. But if it's made from wood, then it depends whether it's nakav or not. That the blia can go through and through the cheres, but the blia will not go through and through the eitz unless it has an ekel on the bottom. The other opinion of Tosfos is just the reverse, based on a Yerushalmi, but there are two ways to interpret the Yerushalmi. Opposites, ben akotza lakotza. The other opinion is, no, that by cheres, it will be bolea. It will be Bolea, even if it's not Nokuv. Two opposites from each other. Which of the two? If the Otzitz is wood or the Otzitz is Cheres. So one of them, you don't even need a Nekev on the bottom. It's going to be Bolea even without a Nekev. So the two opinions in Tosfos in which direction. Then there's a third opinion in Rishonim. Okay, but the Tosfos only has these two opinions. Yeah, So the simple reading on the Shulchan Aruch sounds like it's saying that by Zareya, even Zareya in a nuts, it's the offer Yeshura b'mayim. It's just going to sprout. It's not in the karka at all. It's not mechubel karka. It sounds like it's Zareya menator, like the Magen Avos raised the possibility. Shulchan Aruch also quotes the Gemara that if you have, let's say, an otzitz nakuv. And by otzitz nakuv, if you kotzer, that'll be a melacha deraisa. That all the Tanaim agree. The machlekes and the Mishnah and Daf Sadekem and Aleph and Shabbos is machlekes of Shimon HaChachamim by otzitz she'ena nakuv. But by otzitz nakuv, they all agree that the kotzer will be deraisa. Yep. Okay. So the Shulchan Aruch quotes a din from the Gemara. If you have an atzitz knuckle where it's yearning from the ground, and I pick it up and I put it on top of the table, or I pick it up higher, so it's suspended higher above the ground, so a mafsik part of the yanika, it's not going to be yearning as much as it was yearning before. Let's say originally the atzitz knuckle was sitting an inch. The bottom of the atzitz was an inch suspended above the ground. Now I put the atzitz knuckle on top of the table, or I put it on a tripod that holds it higher up. Instead of an inch above, it's a foot above the ground. If you hold it very high up, some Rishonim say above 10 tefachim, above the ground, there's no unique at all. But if it's, a foot above the ground, it's not the 10 tefachim. 10 tefachim is much more than that. So that's also called kotzer. That's a violation of kotzer, because you're mafsik part of the yonik. It's not going to be a yonik as much as it was as yonik as it was yonik before. So we have flower pots in the house, so you got to be careful for Zareya not to water the flower pot. And I think we discussed it already about opening up the window, or if you open the window, you open the window shades and the sun is going to shine on the flower pot, and the fresh air will help the flowers grow a little better. But if you do that, that's Zareya. That's like Mashka Maim Lizraim, is it told? If things are growing, let's say grass is growing, and you pour water on the grass. So Mashka Maim Lizraim is not an Abmalach, it's a told. And the first daf in Moed Kot, and the Gemara has a Machlek, is it a told of Chorish, or is it a told of Zareya? The Gemara asks, why not say it should be both? Why not Chayiv Shtayim? So the Gemara says, Yahus Tagut Tekashe. The Gemara doesn't say Teyufta. So we assume that's a question. How come you're not Chayiv Shtayim? Let it be both a told of Chorish and a told of Zareya. So that's a question. Why not say Chayiv Shtayim? But the Gemara says it's Mashkan Zareya is only a told of either Zareya or of Chorish. So we don't really have to. And if the person opens up the window shade, so the sun is shining on his flower pot, or he opens up the window and the fresh air is going to help the flower pot, the flowers in the pot grow better. So that's a question that's probably a psikresha. Sometimes it'll be a psikresha la nichalik. So liknim nishtin linket peya is not thinking at all about, he's not thinking, he's not opening up the window in order that the flowers should grow better. He wants fresh air for himself. He wants to read a sefer. So he needs to open up the shade in order that the sun should come into the house. He wants to read. He's not really interested in the sun causing the flowers and the flower pot to grow better. So that's a question of psikresha de la nichale that the recent poskim discussed from 100 years ago. They discussed that. Is that the same as psikresha la nichale? Maybe it's more lahakil. So I think we discussed that already. Anyway, here in Shin Lamed Vav, they talk about the gzeris de rabbanon that are Exera Mishum Kotzer. So what's an Exera Mishum Kotzer? So there's a Mishnah in the end of Beitza, in the very end of Beitza. It's in the Lamed's, in the Lamed base. The Elu Mishum Shvus, a list of Gzeres the Rabbanim. Things that you're not allowed to do, mid the Rabbanim Ad Yontif, Kal V'chaim B'Shabbos. So one of them is, Emrech Magabi Behem. You're not allowed to ride horseback on Yontif, Kal V'chaim on Shabbos. Why not? So first, the Gemara thought because Shema Yetzir Chutz Letrum, he may not realize it. He may go Chutz Letrum. So that's a Gzera Midrabbanon. That's why it's an awesome Midrabbanon. So the Gemara says, wait a minute. There's a Machlekes Rabbi Kiva Nachacham. Whether Trumin is the Raisa of the Rabbanon. So we usually have a klal. The Chachamim are not authorized to make a Gzera unless there's a concern that someone may violate an Issa of the Raisa. But if the whole concern is that someone may violate, the worst that can happen is they'll violate an Issa Drabbanon. So they're not authorized to make a Gzera B'kei Hai Gavna. The Rambam and all the Rishonim raise an issue. The Rashba has this, and the Rosh, all the Rishonim discuss how do the Chachamim have the right to make a Gzera Drabbanon? Why isn't that a violation of Baltoisiv? In the Torah we have 613 dinim. Then the Chachamim added on another million dinim Drabbanon. How do they have the right to add on? So the Rambam says, no, the Torah authorizes the Chachamim, Mishmartem es Mishmarti, Asu Mishmeres leMishmarti. That's the concluding pasuk in Chumash Vayikram, Parsha, the end of Parsha's Achrei Mois. So Rashi, in the beginning of Beitzer, writes, Mishmartem es Mishmarti, Ulo Mishmeres leMishmarti. If they make Gzera de Rabbanon because they're concerned that someone may violate an Issa de Rabbanon, that's not sufficient Tzorach. Let's say there's a Tzorach to make Gzera de Rabbanon. If you don't make Gzera, once every 100 years, someone's going to be Mechal Shabbos. Come on, once every 100 years, someone's going to be Mechal Shabbos. They make everybody crazy for all 100 years. All the Jews live all over the world because one person may be Mechal Shabbos. That's insufficient cause. Hakol chayovim, let's say, on Rosh Hashanah, hakol chayovim et kir shofar, and hakol b'kim et kir shofar. All Jewish men are chayiv to hear shofar, and not everybody knows how to blow shofar. So that's a gzera de rabbanon. That's called gzera de rabba. Rabba explains pshat in the Mishnah why mid the rabbanon you're not allowed to blow shofar when Rosh Hashanah chol yis b'shabbos. Hakol chayovim b'netilas lulav, and hakol b'kim. Not everybody knows how to say the bracha. Not everybody knows how you're supposed to properly shake the lulav. So that's a gzera de rabbanon. He may carry. So that's a tzorech gadol. Someone may violate. A lot of people will violate the chilul shabbos if you leave the din deraisa in its place, that even on Shabbos, Rosh Hashanah Shcholius b'Shabbos and Sukkot, Yantab Shal Sukkot, Shcholius b'Shabbos, a lot of people may violate Chilul Shabbos. So that's why you make Gzeir. But if the whole concern only is that you're afraid people will violate an Issa de Rabbanon, so then you have no right to make Gzeir. That's the Mishnah Berurah has an interesting kasha, and Hilchas Erevin. He must have spoken about it. And the Bir Halacha, he has a three-line Bir Halacha. He has a kashi and doesn't have a teretz. He says the way it's suggested in Shulchan Aruch, the en lana bizman hazeh rishus haram deraisa, we don't really have a rishus haram deraisa. By us, everything is always a karmelis, except if it's mamsha highway. But the streets in the city, so the Bali Atosis were of the opinion that you need shishim riba to be a rishus haram deraisa. In most cities, you don't have shishim riba. And even if you have a big city with shishim riba, so the Pesukim say it's highly unlikely that it's going to be a Rishus HaRam Deraisa for various reasons. They give different reasons why. Some, the Aruch HaShulchan interprets a Yerushalmi to say that the only time it's Rishus HaRam Deraisa is if this is the Rishus HaRam with the Hey Hayadiyah. There's one main street in the city. But in New York City, you have a lot of big streets. So all the streets compete with each other, which is the Rishus HaRam with the Hey Hayadiyah. So they all lose. The only time, so none of them are Rishus HaRam Deraisa. So it's a little bit counterintuitive. One can argue faker that all the streets should be Rishus HaRam Deraisa. The Aruch HaShulchan interprets a Yerushalmi like that. So the Divya Malkiel has quite a few volumes. He was the Rav in Lamja. So one of the earlier volumes, I think Chelik Beis, Chelik Gimel, he says he doesn't think the Aruch HaShulchan makes sense. Then a later volume of Tshuvas from the Divya Malkiel, the idea grew on him, and then after years, he thought that it did make sense. It's a question how to read Yerushalmi. We don't have a tradition how to interpret Yerushalmi. Got to see what it says in the art scroll. How they translated the Yerushalmi. Okay. So the... then there are other explanations why there's no Rishus HaRam Deraisa b'zman hazeh. Others say that the larger the city is, so the more unlikely it's going to be that any one street will be mefulish. In order to be Rishus HaRam, the street has to cut through the whole city. Mefulish mishar d'shar, some rishonim say belisho mikom klal. So the bigger the city is, so the more unlikely it's going to be that there'll be any street that goes straight. Every street is going to twist and turn. Because originally there was a small city, and then you put the cemetery on the outskirts of the city, or you put the other things on the outskirts. You put platforms, and then later on the city keeps on expanding, growing bigger and bigger. And we already put things on the outskirts, thinking that's the outskirts of the city. Now that becomes the middle of the city. So then you have this. You have, let's say, you have a platform, George Washington on a horse, and. In Fort Washington Park over here in Washington Heights. So that used to be the outskirts of the city. Now it's the middle of the city. So it blocks the whole Hilul HaRam. So the streets are not mefulish. The streets don't go straight. They have to turn at a right angle in order to get from one end of the city to the other. So they give different reasons why there's no Rishus HaRam Deraisa b'zman hazeh. So the Mishnah Berurah is bothered with Akasha. If we no longer have, we cannot have no Rishus Aram Deraisa, according to the Balak, Einlan Rishus Aram Deraisa, Bisman Azem. So we should be Mechuyev to blow Shofar Rosh Hashanah Shacholis B'Shabbos. We should be obligated to shake a lulav on the first day, Sukkot, Shacholis B'Shabbos, because you have no right to make a Gzera L'Gzera. That's insufficient cause. You only have a right to make a Gzera if there's a real concern that someone may, a serious concern, someone may violate an Issa Deraisa. Just like if it's a far-fetched chashash, once in 100 years, someone's going to violate an aver, that's insufficient cause. So even if it's more common than that, someone will violate, a lot of people violate an aver, but the worst aver will be is only the Rabbana, because Ein Lanu Shusaram Deraisib is not as that. That's also insufficient cause. You have to have a tzarakotl to make a gzera the Rabbana. So the Mishnah Berurah has that kasha. Mishnah Berurah has that kasha. Why do we still observe the gzera the Rabba? Why don't we say that since Ein Lanu Din Rishus Ram Deraisa Bizman Azeh, so the whole Gzera Derab should be Bizman Azeh, should be a Gzera L'Gzera. So that's a question, what was the whole Kasha? That's exactly what a Dovish and Minyan, Tzach Minyan Achalat Tirai. Whenever the Chachamim make a Gzera Derabbana for a specific reason, even if you live, even if you happen to live in a generation where the reason for the Gzera doesn't apply, the Gzera Derabbana still applies. That's called Dovish and Minyan. Whatever the Chachamim voted, Aser, Davish and Esav in Minyan, Chachamim gathered together and they pasken that something is awesome in the Rabbanah. Even if you live in a generation where the reason no longer applies, still have to observe the Gzera the Rabbanah. So why did the Mishnah Berurah ask that kasha? So we explained, on different occasions we speak about this. Anyway, so this is the Gemara's kasha. How can the Mishnah say it's prohibited to ride horseback because? And the Mishnah doesn't say the reason why. So first thing, Mar thought, Gzera Shem Yetzi Chutz L'Tchum. He may not realize it, it'll go Chutz L'Tchum. That's Nicha, if you hold Tchum, and there's the Isa Rebbe Kiva's opinion that Alpai Mama is 1 mil, the Isa to go Chutz L'Tchum is there Isa. So then it makes sense to make Gzera. But if we pasken against Rebbe Kiva, the Gemara said, we don't pasken like Rebbe Kiva. We pasken Tchum, and it's only the Rabbanon. So why, you have no right to make Gzera L'Gzera. I, the Rif and the Rambam pasken like the Yerushalmi, the Rif at the end of the first parak and Erevin. Quotes are Yerushalmi, that Tchum and Yud Beis Mil, all the Tanaim agree is their Isa. The Almach Lakes are Bekimin HaChachamim, is only Tchum and 1 mil. So why does the Gemara say, why do they have the right to make a Gzer the Rabbanon? Not the right. On horseback, it's only the Rabbanon, but Yud Beis Mil is their Isa. So Mestame, that the fellow's not going to mistake. He may make a mistake to go Chutz Lemil. Lemil is 22 and a half minutes. The Mishnah Berurah always says it's 18 minutes. The others point out it's really 22 and a half minutes walking. So 22 and a half minutes walking, if you're going to ride horseback, you can misjudge, and you think that you went less than an alpai mama, less than a mil. You really went more than a mil. But to make a mistake that you think you went very little riding horseback, and you really went Yud Beis Mil. Yud Beis Mil is very far away. That is not going to violate the Din Deraisa. So that's the Bavli doesn't necessarily disagree with the Yerushalmi. That's a machlekes. Mechaber Patna, Mechaber in the Shulchan Aruch, Hilchos Tchumen, Paskins like the Rif and the Rambam, that Tchumen is Deraisa by Yud Beis Mil. And the Ramah Paskins like the Bavli Atay says that all Tchumen is only the Rabban and even Yud Beis Mil. Why? Because they assume that the Bavli does not accept that Yerushalmi. Bavli disagrees with Yerushalmi. So this Gemara, the end of Beitzah, with the Gemara asked the Kasha, how can they make a Gzera Drabon and a Rech Magabi Behema, Gzera Shem Yetzir Chutz L'Tchum, without realizing it? And the Gemara says, how do you have the right to make a Gzera? It's a Gzera L'Gzera, because Tchumen is only the Rabbanon. So why did the Gemara say Tchumen Yud Beis Mil? That's their Isa. So it doesn't necessarily prove that the Bavli is Cholek on the Yerushalmi. It could be the Bavli also agrees that Yud Beis Mil is the Raisa, but that's so far-fetched. He's not going to make a mistake. That 22 and a half minute walk, if you're riding horseback, you'll probably do it in 3 minutes. You go very quickly. You go very quickly. But you're not going to go a Yud Beis Mil in 3 minutes. That would be a very long trip. So that, the Gemara knew that he's not going to make a mistake there. Anyway, so the Gemara is not happy with that shot. So why are you not permitted to ride horseback? Gemara says, no, the real reason is, Gzera Shem Yachtach Zmora. When you ride horseback, so it's apparently it's very common to break off a branch from the tree in order to hit the horse, to to encourage it to go faster. So, so there's a malacha deraisa of kotzer, and with the rabbanon they prohibited riding horseback. Yeah, so this should really only apply if he's riding a horse and it practices to break off a branch to encourage the horse to go more. Let's say you're playing with a little puppy. No one's going to break off a branch in order to make the puppy go faster. So the Chachamim prohibited mishtamish bebalei chayim. You're not allowed to use, not only in Ruch Magabi Behema, not allowed to ride horseback, Zerushem Yachtos Mara, they applied it to Eimishtamshim Balichayim. You're not allowed to use any Hishtamshis at all on Balichayim. And they made another Gzerah der Rabbanon, Ein Olam Bila. You're not allowed to climb up on a tree. What's wrong with climbing up on a tree? A lot of times people climb up on a tree and they break off a branch, not accidentally. No, they break off a branch on purpose because that branch is in the way. It's gonna poke them in the eyes, or it's gonna rip their shirt. So they break off a branch in order to be able to climb up better. So both of these are mentioned in the same Mishnah, Ein Olam Be'ilon and Ruach Megabi Behema. And the Gemara says that they're both for the same reason, Gzeir Shem Yachter Zmara. Then the Shulchan Aruch has Ein Olam Be'ilon. What kind of an Ilon are you talking about? So the Gemara says, let's say the Ilon, I chop down a tree, and the stump of the tree, I want to sit on the stump of the tree. So if the stump of the tree is more than 3 tefachim tall above the ground, then it's called an Ilon. If it's less than 3 tefachim, it's something similar too, but it's not identical. It's not really based on the din of Lovud. Lovud is really a different thing, but it's similar to Lovud. So it's an extension of the din of Lovud. So if the whole tree stump is not 3 tefachim tall, then it's like sitting on Gavi Karka. But if the top stump of the tree is more than 3 tefachim tall, then you have the Gzeir Shemiyachter Zmar. There are no Zmaris. The branches that you can break off are higher up. In order to break off a branch, you're going to have a hatchet. You're going to have something to cut. The stump of the tree is very fat on the bottom. You don't have thin branches. But it's a leplug rabbonim. So they asked handling even little puppies. No one's going to break off a branch to hit the little puppy to encourage it to go faster. And no one's going to break off any branch if you have the stump of the tree. It's more than 3 tefachim tall. Alpidin, it's a tree. So they made a gzera de rabbanon, even when the reason for the gzera doesn't apply. And that's why we say that balechayim are muktzah, and mechuber is muktzah. If you have a big fat tree, there's no prohibition in touching muktzah. Well, we learned about muktzah. There's no issur in touching muktzah. If it's a very heavy piece of muktzah that's very hard to move. But let's say you have a beitzah shenol debiyontav is muktzah. So the Gemara says you're not allowed to touch the beitzah because it'll easily move. If it's a dovah kal that'll easily move, then you're not even allowed to touch it. So if you have a big fat tree that it's not going to move. If you have a thin sapling, a young tree, if you just touch it a little bit, the whole tree will move. So that you have to be careful because the tree is considered muktzah because of the gzera derabbanan. A dovah shein bo hishtamshus has a din of muktzah. So balechayim, live animals and trees, because of in Ruach Magabi Behema, so there's tamish be balechayim and in Eilim Be'ilon, so that's why they both don't have hishtamshus. So that's why they both have a din of muktzah. Even if, let's say, it's a very fat tree, it's a tree 3,000 years old, from Sheshes May Breshes. Big fat tree, gigantic tree. You can't push that tree. Even if you lean on the tree, it's not going to budge. The tree is not going to budge. But still, that's to lean on the tree, b'chol koicha, that's called mishtamish b'mechuba. If you just lean a little bit on the tree, and to the extent that if you take away the tree, he won't fall down, then that's not called mishtamish b'mechuba. But if it's a young sapling, a thin tree, if you just touch it a little bit, if you lean out a little bit, the whole tree will lean over, then you're handling muktzah. Or if you're leaning on the tree, the big fat tree is not going to move at all, but you're leaning on the tree in such a way that if you'll take away the tree, he'll fall down. He's leaning b'chol koichai, then that's also called mishtamish b'mechuber, and you're not allowed to. So because these two gzeiros and olam beilam rechem gabi beema were both made because of the concern of shema yachter zmora, so that's why the Gemara has on the end of Erevin, the Gemara puts the two together benegir to how far you go with the gzeira. So we make a din that it's the dodim is aser, but see it's dodim is mutter. So that's the famous din. Let's say you'll tie a hammock around the tree. And I'll sit on the hammock. I'll swing myself on the hammock. So not only are you not allowed to be mishtamish in the tree, not allowed to be mishtamish in the hammock, that's called tzedadim. But if the hammock is tied onto a nail, which is banged into the tree, so the nail is considered tzedadim, it's mechubit to the tree, and the hammock is called tzidit tzedadim. The hammock is tied onto the nail, which in turn is nailed into the tree, so then you are permitted to sit on the hammock or to swing on the hammock, because b'tzidit tzedadim, they weren't gozer. So the Gemara has the same thing again to behemoth. Tzedadim is aser, and tzidit tzedadim would be mutter. The Gemara puts the two together because it was the same gzera on both of them. So the Gemara assumes that the nature of the gzera is similar to both. It's not exactly, not always identical, but it's similar to both. Yeah, what would be in the Shulchan Aruch? They give you an example. What is tzedadim? Tzedis tzedadim. The hammock is the example that we usually give. The Shulchan Aruch have a different marshal. That's a person wants to climb up on a ladder. So we have ladders that have two parts to it. So the ladder stands on its own. Let's say you have a ladder that doesn't have two parts. So you have to lean the ladder on a building. So to lean the ladder on a building, I want to climb up to the second floor. I want to go in the window on the second floor. So that would be mutter. But if I have a ladder to what's an example? Let's say there's a nail nailed into the tree. Someone banged at a nail in the tree. Then you have a bucket or a basket that held up by the nail. So the basket is tzidit tzedadim, like the hammock. And let's say there's a sefer in the basket. So to put a sefer on the branch of the tree, or to take a sefer off from the branch of the tree, or let's say to hang your jacket up. I wanna learn. And I have an Erev on my front lawn. I want to take off my jacket on Shabbat, hang it up on the branch of the tree. So that's called mishtamish b'mechuba. Or let's say I left my jacket on the branch of the tree on Erev Shabbos, or I didn't realize I put it on Shabbos. So to take the jacket off from the branch of the tree, to put it on the branch of the tree, that's a violation of mishtamish b'mechuba. But if you have a basket that's held up by a nail, which is nailed into the tree, so then the basket is tzidit tzedadim. So then it would be mutter. Then it would be mutter to leave something in the basket, because that's your bishtamish b'tzidit tzedadim. It would be mutter to take something off. And the biography of the Stipler Gaon, they write, Stipler was one of the brothers-in-law of the Chazon Ish. I think in his family, I think there were 12 or 13 or 14 children, I don't know. So all the brothers were Talmid HaChamim and all the sisters married big Talmid HaChamim. The Stipler married his sister, the Chazon Ish. They were brothers-in-law. So the Stipler was drafted into the army, in the Russian army. So he had to stand guard at night, and it was freezing in the Russian winter. So he asked the guard before him, he should please leave his fur coat where he's supposed to stand guard. So when he goes to stand guard, whatever, 12 o'clock at night, he'll be able to wear the other one's fur coat. So the Nachri didn't realize, so he left his fur coat hanging on a branch on the tree. So the Stipler said he's not allowed to take it off, because that's called Mishtamish B'Mechuber. He's not allowed to take it off. But he's afraid he's going to catch a cold. So to prevent one, if one is a Chayla She'eimbo Sakona, one is a chole shemis hakona. A person has a cold, and he has to lay in bed. So that's called a chole shemis hakona. He can't function normally. So if, not only if a person already is a chole shemis hakona, do we have kulas? You're allowed to take medication. You're allowed to violate xeris to prevent one from becoming chole shemis hakona. It says also one is permitted to violate the xeris. They give the example of Shulchan Aruch when the German government put Maram Rittenberg in prison because they want to hold up the Jewish community for for the ransom money. He didn't do anything wrong, but they just wanted to hold him hostage for money. So the Rosh is a Talmud of the Maram Rutmark. He was a wealthy man. He was prepared to put up half of the money and to collect the rest of the money from the Jewish community. So the Maram Rutmark said that you're not allowed to, because it's a Mishnah Gitnei, put him such for him, yes, I'll be the man. You're only allowed to pay the ransom money if it's that's how much they would pay to buy a slave. But they were asking for an exorbitant amount of money, so he said, you're not allowed to. And then he said, even after, if he'll die in prison, they said, there shouldn't be paid to his body after he dies. So so every day they allowed the students of the Maharam to come to the prison. So every day when it would be cold, so they would make a fire to make sure they don't catch a cold. On Shabbos, when it would be cold, they would ask the prison guards, could they please make a fire? Amir the Nochri is an Issa the Rabbanon to ask the guard to make a fire. But B'makam Chol Hashem B'Sakan is Mutter. And that's when they had that expression, HaKol Chol Meitzer Latzina. Everyone may get sick. If it's cold out, if it's cold and you don't have any steam and you don't have any fire, then you may get sick. And not only do we allow Mir the Nochri for one already is a Chol Hashem B'Sakan to prevent one from becoming a Chol Hashem B'Sakan. Says also that it's Amir the Nachri is permissible. Yeah. So the stifler knew that he better put on the fur coat. He's not going to put on the fur coat, he's going to catch a cold. But he figured it's a special heter, so he said, in 5 minutes he's not going to catch a cold. So he said, he'll wait 5 minutes and then he'll put on the coat. Then after 5 minutes he decided, another 5 minutes, not that divider. He waited all night long and didn't put on the coat. And then he lost his hearing. He was deaf. He lost his hearing because it was so freezing cold. So the Maisa, his from Midas Chasidus, was a mistake, because that's why he became deaf. For the rest of his life, he was deaf. That's certainly a Chol Hashem B'Sakana. That he certainly should have put on. That's, it wasn't right. He always had wild chumras. Always had midah chassid, the wild chumras. It was improper what he did. Really, he should have taken it off right away. He shouldn't have waited 5 minutes. So that's the shaila is, let's say, have a davish al mukta, and a mazminit. Let's say, have etzim avonah b'yofa. You have little pebbles. The etzim avonah b'yofa is mukta machmas gufa. A davish ein b'hish tamsh, mukta machmas gufa. Years ago, they didn't have toilet paper, so when there would be oisad sarachov, the kovim gedolim, they used to use little pebbles to wipe themselves, that they shouldn't smell, they shouldn't have a dirty body. So the Gemara says, Misham Kavar Abriyas, that he shouldn't smell. He's even permitted to use pebbles on Shabbos, which he was not mazmen in advance, even though Zanisa Tiltamuk says, so we allow, Misham Kavar Abriyas, we allow all the rabbans, fine. But the more correct would be if you mazmen the pebbles in advance. So if you mazmen them, the pebble still remains pebble. Or let's say you have it, we spoke about it, let's say there's a bris on Shabbos, so the meaning is based on a Zohar, that you matmin the or ha'orlo ba'ofer. You have a little container of offer, anotzit shen anokuv, and after the moel does the bris milah, he puts the offer in a cup of offer, he puts the or ha'orlo, based on the pasuk in Parshas Bullock, that Bila Marosha said, benevom mimono afar Yaakov. Who can count how many brisen the Jewish people have on any given day that they put the Or Ha'orla in the offer? So the question is, how can you do that on Shabbos? You're allowed to do the bris milah. That's a malacha. That's a pasuk. Yamish many imol b'sar los afila b'Shabbos. Bila b'zman is decha Shabbos. But why is it permissible? That's only a minute. That's not a din to be matman the Or Ha'orla in offer. That's only a minute. So why are we permitted to be handle muktzah? So it says in Shulchan Aruch, both in Hilchas Milah and Yeridei Chelek Yimel and Hilchas Shabbos, it says when you have a bris on Shabbos, you should be mazmin to offer in advance, and then you're allowed to use it. So the question is, what do you mean? You're going to be mazmin the pebbles in advance to use for the Beis HaKisei, but it's still going to be avonim. It's still a pebble, a davishein b'hish tamshes. You're going to be mazmin the offer in advance to use it for the bris milah. It's still going to be offer. It's still offer. It's still avonim. It's still muktzah. So the Ramban explains in the Mochamis and Maseches, where is it? I think it's a Maseches Erevin, not Maseches Shabbos. He says, when you're Mazman, I think we spoke about this already, when you're Mazman Ofer, or you're Mazman Avonim, it remains Muktzeh, but the Hazmana makes a Heta Tiltel for that purpose, or for any other purpose that's equally important or more important than that. But to use the offer or the avonim for another hishtamshes that's less important, I say it does remain muktzah. Sometimes if you mazman something, it becomes ois muktzah. Let's say you have a pair of shoes. They used to have penny loafers. They used to put a coin inside the shoe. Oh, we spoke about the Mishnah in Shabbos, Mishnah in Erevin. Evin should be kirviyah. A kirviyah is a bucket, so you want to draw water from the well. But the bucket is made from wood. So the wood is going to float on top of the water in the well. So how are you going to... I live up, let's say, on the second floor, on the third floor, in an apartment building. So and I'm going to lower a bucket with a rope into the well and draw water and bring it up to the third floor. So how is the bucket going to go under the surface of the water? The bucket is made from wood. It's going to float on top of the water. How is it going to work unless I'm on the ground level? But the Mishnah talks about the fellow's on the third floor, and he lowers the bucket with a rope. How's it going to work? So in the days of the Tanaim, they would put a big slab of stone on the bottom, tie it onto the bottom of the bucket to make it heavy. So that would cause it to go under. You had to hold on to the rope to make sure that it doesn't sink. So, but how can you handle the Evan should be care of you? How can you handle a bucket if it has a big stone? The bucket becomes muktzah because of the big stone. So that's the answer. No, the bucket blends in to become part of the kli. So then the kli is ice muktzah, no longer muktzah. But sometimes if your mazman offer, your mazman avanim, it remains muktzah. That's what the Gemara says. Let's say you have logs for yontif that you're going to use in the furnace to cook food or to keep warm. So that's mutta, that's tzorach al-chanevish, tzorach ayam k'tas. I want to keep my body warm. On Shabbos, Havara is us, but on Yantab, Havara tzorach al-chanevish, Havara tzorach ayam k'tas would be mutta. So let's say he has logs, which he prepared in advance, and he's going to throw the logs into the fire, in the furnace, in order to have a fire to cook food, in order to keep warm. So how is that permissible? But the logs are eitzim, logs are mukta. So the Gemara says, you're mazman in advance. But the Gemara has a lashon, l'nitnu eitzim ela l'hasaka. You're only permitted the eitzim abonav yofer. Eitzim abonav yofer is muktzah machmas gufoy. So you're not allowed to handle it. The answer is, if you're mazman in advance, it remains muktzah, the eitzim and the offer and the abonim, for the Beis HaKisei and so on, it remains muktzah. But you have a head to tiltel for this specific purpose or any other purpose that's equally important or more important. The Gemara discusses in the first Perek in Beitzah what other purposes are more important or equally important or less important than for the Eitzim or for the offer. It was Mazman offer in order to do Kisei Hadam. He wants to shecht the chayv yofer. If you shecht the behem, you don't need kisei adam. Shecht chayv yofer wants to shecht the chicken on yontif. So there's a mitzvah to do kisei adam. So he's mazman the offer in advance. So he shouldn't violate tilta mukta. So what else can he use the offer for? Let's say the baby made a dirty dirt all over. Can you throw some of the offer to cover over the dirt? Is that equally important to doing the mitzvah of kisei adam, or is it less important? Or is it more important? So the Gemara discusses. Yeah, so that's what the Ramban has. There are two kinds of hazmana. So that's a shaila. What if, let's say, a puppy is muktzah? What if it's a puppy that it's a pet and I play with, and the little children play with the puppy, or you have a cat, a kitten? So if you mazman the cat, a kitten, or you mazman the puppy in advance, does that take off the isa muktzah? So Moshe Feinstein, at the end of his life, he wrote very brief tshuvas. I'm not sure if he wrote it or other people wrote over what he said. So he has a very just one paragraph. In the early years of his life, he used to write long tshuvas and bring all the makarvis and discuss everything. At the end of his life, he has very brief tshuvas. He has a tshuva about this. So he says, if you have a pet, so then, if you're mazman in advance, it takes off the isa muktzah. the Pashta says that it's not so. There's a tshuva the Marach Ozarua, the son of Rabbeinu Yitzchok Ozarua, Rabbeinu Chaim Ozarua, a small little sefer. So he quotes that this was a big dispute among the Baal HaTosfos. Ruba of the Baal HaTosfos were of the opinion that even by a pet, that you're mazmin it for hishtamshes, you want to play with the pet, but the children want to play with the pet. The pet is mukta, not because, it's not like Eitzim Amon of the offer, it's mukta because it doesn't have any hishtamshes. Here it's mukta because of the gzera de rabbanon. Even if it does, even if the pet is miyuchta from playing with the kitten, or playing with the puppy, here it's mukta because of the gzera de rabbanon, em shtamshem et bali chayim. So the pashtas rov bali ates is held not like that. Even if you're mazman in advance, it doesn't help. It's still going to be mukta.
Rosh Hashem, what about Litzarach Makomo? So let's say somebody has a cat or a dog and the person needs the place that's being occupied. So Litzarach Makomo also, you would not be able to move the animal?
I think for sure not. Tzarach Makom is only a heter by klisha malach leisa. If you have a pen or a hammer or a pencil, something like that, it's not muktzah. But here, because of the gzera derabbanan, emish tamshim bali chayim, so this is muktzah machmas gufa. By muktzah, there's never a kula. The tzarach gufa, the tzarach makom. The kula is only by a klisha malach leisa. Yeah. The Gemara has an interesting discussion in Erev and Daf Kuf that's quoted here in Shin Lamed Vav. What's the din? A person climbed up on a tree on Erev Shabbos. So the two cases, he climbed up, he planned to get down before Shabbos, and he forgot. He's still on the tree on Shabbos. Or he planned on staying on top of the tree for a while. The Yisr. That's a discussion. Which one are we talking about? Or he climbed up on a tree on Shabbos. That's Shaloi Kedin. He's not allowed to climb up on a tree. So what should he do now? He doesn't want to stay on the tree for another 24 hours. He wants to go to sleep on Friday night. He doesn't want to stay on the tree the whole Shabbos, even if it's not at night. He doesn't want to stay on the tree from 9 o'clock in the morning till Tzeisam Kachavim on Matzoi Shabbos. Doesn't want to stay. So should we say, when he sits on the tree, he's in violation of Ein Oilam Be'ilam B'Shevi Al Tase. He's Mishtamish Be'ilam by sitting on the tree. But he's Mishtamish B'Shevi Al Tase. When he climbs down the tree, he's in violation of Mishtamish Be'ilam B'Kum V'Yase. So to do an Aver B'Kum V'Yase is more common than doing an Aver B'Shevi Al Tase. But if he climbs down from the tree, he'll only be in violation of the Isser. He'll violate the Isser B'Kum V'Yase, but he'll only violate the Isser Mishtamish Be'ilam for 20 minutes. He's going to realize he did wrong, he's going to climb down. If you tell him he has to stay on the tree, act b'shev al tasa, remain where you are, he'll be in violation of the iser ben olam b'ilam b'shev al tasa for a longer period of time, for 10 hours, from 9 in the morning till 7 at night, till whatever time, till 5:30, whatever. So the Gemara has this discussion, which is the lesser of the two evils. So we often say, if it's a toss-up between, you're faced with a dilemma, whatever you're going to do, you're going to be in violation of an iser. So a lot of times we say, shevi al tasa orif. Don't, if you're going to go this way, you'll violate iser A. You're going to go that way, you violate iser B. So we say, well, can you establish which iser is machoma? Let's say one is an Issa deraisa, one is an Issa derabbanan. So you have to be bocha b'meir terah. You have to choose the lesser of the two evils. Or one Issa will be b'kum v'yase, one will be yushev altasa. Say shev altasa orif. And one Issa will be for 10 minutes. He climbed up on the tree, then he realized he did shloi kedin. So let him climb down. That'll be, he'll violate ein olam b'ilam b'kum v'yase, but it'll only be for 10 minutes. Mashayna kein, if you tell him stay on the tree, he'll be violating the Israel and Elam Be'ilam, B'Shevi Al-Tasa, for many hours, for 7, 8, 9, 10 hours. So the Gemara has a whole discussion in Erev and Daf Kuf, which is the least of all of the evils. You don't always say Shegal Tasonis. That was a chunk of recent Jewish history. After Hakamas HaMedina, so the Aguda always felt that it's an Issa, you're not allowed to join the coalition government, because the government was doing things that were Keneged Adin, absolutely Keneged Adin. But if you don't join the and the Mizrahi joined whenever it was possible, Mizrahi always joined the government, because they felt, they agree, that joining the coalition means you'll be responsible for all the averes that the government is doing. But if you don't join, then it's going to be worse. At least if you join, sometimes you'll be able to pressure the government. They should not violate the din. So that's what the Mizrahi always felt, that you have to take. You don't always say Shegal Tasarif. If you join the government, you're mechazik yedei aver aver. If you don't join, it's going to be worse. So you don't always say Shegal Tasarif. So that's what the Mizrahi always said. And the Aguda always went to the Shita, no, you're not allowed to join. See, Harim al Yabba, that's what he said. You're not allowed to join the coalition government. After many years, so the Aguda used to have a Bad Moetzes Gedoli Ator and Eretz Yisrael. Rav Shach was the head of the Bad Moetzes Gedoli Ator. See, after many years, Rav Shach decided that it's permissible for them. He finally came around to the way of thinking of the Mizrahi, that under these circumstances, it's better, yes, to join the coalition, rather than not to join the coalition. So at that time, Rav Moshe Sternbuch was a young, very young Talmud Chacham. So he tied against Rav Shach. How can you join the coalition government? But the Gedolim, the Chazanish, and the others said, that is Yehoreg V'Yavah. So Rav Shach had to defend his position. So at that time, he sent a letter to Rav Malkiel, not to Rav Baron Kotler's son. What was his name, Rav?
Rav Schneier
Kotler. So he sent a letter to Rav Schneier. Rav Baron Kotler had passed away. Sent a letter to Rav Schneier Kotler because they're mishpacha. And he wrote him, he didn't write that he's defending himself from the Taina of Rav Moshe Sternbuch, but that's what it was. He didn't want to write a letter to Rav Moshe Sternbuch because he was much younger. So he thought it was a priest sakovet, I think, to write him a letter to defend his position. But just wrote a friendly letter to Rav Schneier Kotler, and he asked that they should hang it up in all the yeshivas. I remember the letter was hanging in Rav Shach's handwriting. He has a special, very clear, different handwriting from other people. So the letter was hanging in all the yeshivas, hanging in YU also, where he explained, the Kibana Mirab Hussein, we have a tradition that whenever you're faced with such a dilemma, you have to be Bechab Mir Torah. And the Miyotarad is not always Shegal Tasodim. Sometimes the Miyotarad, the least of all the evil, sometimes is to do something that Kumbi Aseh. So that's discussed over here in Shin Lamed Vav. If the fella climbed up, say if he climbed up on Shabbos, then we penalize him. We say you have to stay there the whole Shabbos. We want to punish him. So we say stay there the whole Shabbos. But if he went up on Erev Shabbos, then we don't penalize him. So we say the least of all the evils is to climb down, to violate the Kumbi Aseh for a shorter period of time, the Din of Einayim Elon, rather than to violate the B'Shebal Tassar for a longer period of time. And then the Shulchan Aruch quotes two opinions from the Shulchan. What do you mean he climbed up on Erev Shabbos? Climbed on Erev Shabbos, planning to remain there on Shabbos also. But that's the same as some Shulchan Aruch, that's the same as climbing up on Shabbos. What does it help he climbed up on Erev Shabbos? But he planned to stay. That's the same as Shulchan Aruch say. It's only climbed up on Erev Shabbos and he misjudged. He thought he was going to climb down before Shabbos begins, and he made a mistake. And the other opinion, Shulchan Aruch, is no, that even if he climbed up on Erev Shabbos al Das to stay there after Shabbos enters, also it's less of an issa, so we don't penalize him in such a situation. But that is an important Gemara in Erev and Daf Kuf. This Gzer the Rabbanan and Erlem Be'ilon, because Shem Yachtu Zmar, the Pashtus is, Ein Rech Magabi Behem, Ein Rech Magabi Behem, the Pashtus is on a horse, because the practice used to be to break off a branch and hit it. And even puppies, okay, even dogs, even puppies, even kittens, you don't break off a branch. So that's a Tzalot Plug Rabbanan. In the middle 1800s, Shoel Meishev has a chumba. He came up with a chiddush that not only is it prohibited to ride on horseback, on Shabbos, Gzeira Shamiach Techzmara, all forms of transportation are rasa. So you're not allowed to ride on a bicycle, because many people in other parts of the world ride to work, go to work on a bicycle. A tricycle is a toy, but a bicycle is a form of transportation. Well, let's say now in modern times, there are cities in Europe where they have a subway and trains where you don't have to pay. It's free of charge. You don't have to pay. So there's no issur of carrying money. There's no issur of tilta muktza. There's no issur of mekach hamemka to pay for the trip. Whoever lives in the city can use the train and the bus. So is it also for me to hitch a ride to go on the train? So the Sholem Eshi came up with this chiddush that you're not allowed to go even on a bicycle, even if there's an eruv around the whole city, or on Yontif, who are carrying his mutter, the Tzorech HaChnav. So the guy wants to ride by bike to shul. So he came up with the chiddush that this is considered, this is include all forms of transportation are included in the Gevaradei Rechem HaGavi Beim. So this was quoted by the Melamed Lehoyel, Rav David Zvi Hoffman, who was the head of Hildesheim Seminary in Berlin. And after him was Chiel Yaakov Weinberg, when Hoffman was very old, so then he was holding by retiring. So then they asked Weinberg to come to Hildesheim Seminary. So he quotes it also. He quotes the Sholem Eshiv, and the Melamed Lehoyel has it, and the Sfini Yesh has it as well. It's a difficult chiddush. It's a very shvera chumra. I mean, legamri, the whole Shema Yachtach Zmora, the whole thing doesn't apply, not to a bicycle and not to a train. How did the Sholem Eshiv know to extend it? Very highly, highly questionable. I remember I was once talking to Professor Lev from Achon Lev. He was... I think he was an orphan in the war. His parents, I think, were killed by the Nazis, if I'm not mistaken. And he was raised by Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky. He was like a brother to all of the Kamenetsky children. So he told me he had a shaila. He was going to Columbia University in physics, and he had a class on Friday afternoon. So he asked Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, what should he do? He has a class on Friday afternoon. So he said, Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky said, but how is he going to get back home? It's the class was so late on Friday. If he goes by train, so the train will be going on Shabbos. So Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky said, you put on your big day Shabbos before you go on the train. You empty out your pockets. You just have enough for the car fare. And you go the train till you stop. And then you get off. You mekabel Shabbos. Make sure you daven mincha before. And then be mekabel Shabbos after you get on the train. And then he held that it was mutter to go on the train. He already paid for the train ride on Erev Shabbos. He continued going. So he said, what do you mean? I'll get out in Williamsburg from the train station, so they'll stone me. They're going to see me coming out of the train on Shabbos, on Leil Shabbos. So he said, Sir Bianca Kamenetsky said, so you get off the stop before the stop after, and you walk over a little bit. So you walk out, they won't know who you are. It's not your neighborhood, so they won't stone you. Don't get out. So he said, obviously, Rabbi Kamenetsky didn't agree with this Sholem Eshiv. This is a big chumrah. The Pashto says it's a very big chumrah. There's a Taisus in the beginning, in the end of Masech Shabbos, towards the end of Masech Shabbos, where Taisus points out the Isser of Kotzer applies. Let's say you have a tree with apples or oranges growing on the tree. So you pluck off an apple or an orange. What if the apple is fully ripened and it's not going to get bigger? Esrog, as long as you leave it on the tree, it keeps on getting bigger, 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 bigger. It doesn't stop. But other fruits, other than esrog, once it reaches its maximum, that stops being yonik menakarka. So that's a machloikus rabnei anachachamim in the Mishnah Shavuos. We have a klal on Shavuot Deraisa. There's Shavuot Deraisa and Shavuot Derabbanan. So on a Shavuot Deraisa, we have a klal, Ein Nishboim ala Karkos. Not only on Karka, there's no Shavuot Deraisa, Ein Nishboim, Mechubel Karka, Dinik Karka. Also, Ein Nishboim ala Mechubel Karka. But what if it's anovim ha'omdem lehi botzer? What if, let's say, you have a grapevine and the grapes are fully ripened and they're not yoinik any longer from the ground? If you're going to leave it too long on the tree, it's just going to start to rot. It will fall down by itself. It's not like an esrog. You keep on getting bigger and bigger. So that's a machlokes hatanoim by anovim ha'omdem lehi botzer, where they say mechuba lekarka dina kikarka. And therefore, Einish boy malakakos. And therefore, let's say I want to sell you the apples or the oranges that are attached to the tree. Is it dina kikarka and you need kinyani karka? Or is it dina kimetaltalim and you need kinyani metaltalim? Mchubal karka dina kikarka. Maybe it's only kozman that it's yoinik. But after it's already finished being yoinik, so then it's. It's no longer yonik from the karkas, so maybe it's dinik in the top. So that's machlokes ha'ben ha'chacham. It's a question how the Rambam paskens. There's a shtickel stira in the Rambam. It's a question. So Tosis points out, what do you mean if you have anovim ha'omdim lehibotzi? You're going to tell me that there's no isik kotzer on Shabbos. That's when kotzer is. When do you pluck off the fruits from the tree? When they're fully ripened and still. The Pashto says that that's the Malach of Kotzer. So even if you hold on Avim, Amdim Lehibotzer, is Dino Metaltalim. That's Karka versus Metaltalim, but it's still called, but it's still Mechubal. It's still. See, we said Kotzer from a Otzit She'en Onoku was a Machlokes Reb Shimon HaChachamim. So we pass on that it's only the Rabbanim, not like Reb Shimon. If you kotze from a otzitz naku, that's a malacha there. I said kotze from otzitz she'en a naku, that's only an isa de rabbanan. Even though it's growing, even though the thing is growing, still we say it's only the rabbanan. But here, the normal kotzer is when the anov maram dim lehi botzer. So still, it's a different dinim. Sometimes you're discussing is the karka on the talpum. That's one issue. So that's makleks a man a chachamim. But for kotzer purposes, it doesn't matter that it's dinik in metaltalim. It's nikna with kinyane, even if you hold it's dinik in metaltalim, it's nikna with kinyane metaltalim, but it's still going to be an isik tzirim and atar. But it's still mechubala karka. It's still going to be mechubala karka, yeah. There's another gzera de rabbanan. That's a mishnah. This is not a mishnah in Beitza. This is a mishnah in the middle of Psochim. That peris and oshrim. Let's say you have oranges fell down on the ground, on the grass. So if I know the oranges fell down before Shabbos, I'm permitted to pick them up from the grass on Shabbos. They're not muktzah. But if it fell down on Shabbos, then peris anoshim, you're not allowed to eat on Shabbos. Gzereshem yala v'yitlosh. If you'll allow people to eat the peris that fall down on Shabbos at Yontif, so then next thing you know is that people won't think. And it's not so high. You don't need more of a chatzina. You don't need a ladder, and you don't need special instruments. You can pull off the oranges with your hand. It's easy to do the ktsira. So they made gzera derabbanan. That's peris hanoshim. Yeah, on the first daf in Beitza, the Mishnah has a machlekes bishamim v'silo. What's the din of the Beitzah and all the Bishabbos of the Yontif? So we pass them like Beis Hillel. That's one of the exceptions to the rule. Beis Hillel is Machmer and Bishama is Mekel. So we pass them like Beis Hillel that Beitzah and all the Bishabbos of the Yontif is usher to eat. Why is it usher? So the Gemara has four different shittas. Why? So one opinion in the Gemara is four different shittas in Amoraim. My time of the Beis Hillel. Why did Beis Hillel say that it's usher? So the Gemara says, one opinion is because Peres HaNoishrim, one opinion is because of Mashkan Shezavu. There's a malacha of Disha, you're not allowed to squeeze out grapes or olives to make olive oil to make grape juice. That's a malacha deraisa, on Zeisman Ovim. If you squeeze out, that's a told the dosh. The original Disha is when you have Urchel and Psolus attached, the stalks. On top you have the kernels of grain and they're attached to the straw that holds it up high. So you have ochlam, so you don't eat the straw, you just eat the kernels of grain. So if you detach the whole thing from the ground, that's kotzer. But then if you detach the stalks you bang it, so you do disha, you detach the kernels of grain from the stalks, and now it's all mixed in together. Then you do burr afterwards. So to detach the echel from the psodus and it's all mixed up together, that's a malach of disha. So not only disha, if you have echel and psodus attached together, naturally attached together, that's how it grows in the ground. Even if you have echel and mashke, I have, let's say, olive oil with the olive. The olive oil is inside the olives. Or you have the grape juices inside the grapes, and you separate the mashke from the ochel, you separate the olive oil from the olives, or the grape juice and the grapes. That's also a tol de nidosh. Also considered a tol de nidosh. So they prohibited medirabon and mashke shezovo and teres an oishrim, zereshem yalav itlosh and zereshem yischot. So the Gemara has four opinions. What's wrong with Beitzush and Al Deviantav? So one opinion is that it's part of the Gzerah der Rabbanon of Mashkin Shezavu, and one says that it's part of the Gzerah der Rabbanon of Peres Anoishim. Yeah. Why does one hold that it's part of Mashkin Shezavu? Why isn't it Peres Anoishim? Because Peres Anoishim is oranges, apples, pears. It's a solid. Over here, Beitzush and Al Dev is a liquidy thing. So it must be part of, it can't be part of the Gzerah Peres Anoishim. It must be part of the Gzerah Mashkin Shezavu. The other one says, no, mashkin shezavu, that's a liquid, that's a beverage. The let's say the shemazai is not a beverage, but it's a liquid over here. The beitz is an oichel. So it doesn't, if anything, it's not part of the gzera of mashkin shezavu, it should be part of the gzera of peres hanosh. So that's a machlokes. When the Gemara, that's the first daf in beitz. Daf beis, daf gimel. So the Gemara is clear there that the two different gzeiros are separate. There's a separate gzeir peres hanosh and a separate gzeir mashkin shezavu. And the machlokes amaraim is my time at the Beis Hillel. Why do they hold that beitzush and all those also? They hold it's not the separate gzeira. One holds it's part of the gzeira mashkin shezavu. One holds no, it's part of the gzeira of peres hanosh. There's a Ramban in the Melchamis later in Beitzah. When the Gemara talks about an animal fell into a trap. People, hunters, left traps before Yontif. On Shabbos, you can't shecht an animal anyway, so it's irrelevant. On Yontif, you're allowed to shecht an animal. So let's say an animal got trapped on Yontif. How did it get trapped? You left traps before Yontif. And then the animal fell into the trap. So the Mishnah says you're not allowed to eat the animal. Why not? So some Shem say because it's muktzah, because it wasn't nitzot mibod yom. So it's not under your control. So you can't say that you need hechina esheshe yavir. You have to have hasmana mibod yom. It never had any hasmana mibod yom. The Ramban gives it, that's where Rashi runs. And the Ramban gives a different reason why. He said, Peres Hanosh and Mashkin Shezav is all one and the same gzera. It's against the Gemara, the first daf in Beitza. But the Ramban apparently thinks that the other sugis disagree with that Gemara. First daf in Beitza says that Peres Hanosh and Mashkin Shezavu are two different gzeiros. And that's why there is a machlokes by Beitza Shenolda. Does it make more sense to say that it's part of the gzeira of Mashkin Shezavu because it's liquidy? Or does it make more sense to say it's part of the gzeira of Peres Hanosh because eggs are really oichel? It's not a mashke, even though it's liquidy, it's an oichel. People don't eat eggs when they're thirsty. Even a raw egg, people eat eggs when they're hungry. Or the chazanim eat eggs, it's good for their voice, whatever. But it's not a beverage. So that's the Achrayim talked about that. On Yom Kippur, the shiur for eating and drinking, achil shtiyah is chamisha inuyim on Yom Kippur. So the Shir, Achil, and Shtiyah, Yom Kippur is different from Kol HaTerukula. In order to get Malkus for eating Macholos HaSos, you have to eat a Kazayis, or tray for food. In order to get Malkus for drinking, let's say, Yayin of Maisu Sheni Chutz Yerushalayim, L'sucha Lecha B'sherecha, Maisu D'goncha B'sirochcha B'yitzarecha, L'charis B'korcha B'tzaynecha, you're not allowed to eat Maisu Sheni Chutz Yerushalayim. So if you drink a Revius, then you're loike. If you eat a Kazayis of food, then you're loike. So on Yom Kippur, the shear is different. The shear for eating is kosevus hagasa, bigger than a kazayis. The shear for drinking is malay lugma, which is less than a revius. Everything is different on Yom Kippur. Why? So the Gemara said, because it depends on hanefesh ha-shalos ha-una. So the Chachamim established The shir kazayis and revias, that's for achila. But as far as inuyim, so the shir is totally different. For achila, it's bigger than a kazayis, because seves agasa is bigger. And for shtia, it's less than a revias. Namely, it's a maloy lugmov, which by an autumn benini is a rov revias. Everything is different. So the Stechemen quotes the whole discussion. What would the shir be if you're swallowing a raw egg on Yom Kippur? Does the raw egg have a din of Meichel, or does it have a din of Mashke? So they quote this Gemara. I think the Maram Shik, the Stechemet has the discussion, quotes the true in the Maram Shik. Maram Shik points out this Gemara says that a raw egg, it makes more sense that it belongs under the category of Peres HaNoshev, not Mashke Shazavu, because even though it's liquidy, that's not the difference between Echel and Mashke. The difference in Ochel HaMashke is food versus beverage, not solid versus liquid. A raw egg is liquidy, but it's an Ochel. Let's say they have people are supposed to be on a diet, so instead of eating food all day long, so they give them Metrical. So you have a can of a liquid, and it has all the nutrition that you need for the whole day, and that's all you're supposed to eat. So the poskim say, based on a Tosfos and Shabbat, based on a Gemara, that since it's called Macholah Shel HaAdam, that Metrical has, even though it's liquidy, Metrical has the status of an Ochel. It doesn't have the status of a Mashke. The Gemara says when the baby nurses from the mother, the milk that the baby drinks, milk is one of the Zayin Mashke. It's a Mashke, but the baby who nurses from the mother, that milk is considered Ochel. And the Gemara says it's only the Kabbal Tumah if you have Hechsher. There's a difference between the Kabbalah's Tumah. There are four things that are Kabbal Tumah in the whole wide world. Other became the Mochlam and Mashkim. So there's a major difference between Ochlam and Mashkim. Ochlam is only the Kabbal Tumah. Kyutar Mayim Al Zera. You have to have Hechsher. You have to rinse it off the one of the Zayim Mashkim. And Mashke is Mekabbal Tumah without Hechsher. You don't need any Hechsher. But the Gemara says Beferish increases. That when the baby nurses from the mother, that Michael has a din of, that milk has a din of a Michael. So Taisus Masech Shabbos, yes, and Gemara increases. Milk is from the Zayin Mashkim. How does it have a din of a Michael that it needs Hechsher LeKabbal Tumah? So they say, since it's called Machol HaShalatinoik, it's not that beverage that the baby drinks when he's thirsty. That's the whole nutrition that's called Machol HaShalatinoik. That's all the baby lives on. So it has the status of an Eichel. Yeah, Chacham Avadya has not really a tshuva, an essay. After he passed away, so the family put out an additional volume of Yabia Omer, I think Chelek Yud or Yud Aleph or something. Some of the pieces are tshuvas and some of the essays and halacha. He has this long essay where he quotes this big discussion with a lot of Marmakaimis, Kedarka usually. So he quotes those who say it like that. The Pashta says like that. That what's an Ochel, what's a Mashke, doesn't really depend on solid versus liquid, it depends on beverage versus food. That's what we spoke about, schnapps, that schnapps should really be an Ochel, shouldn't be a Mashke. Okay, we discussed it. So again, so the Gemara, the first half in Beitzah, presents it as if Mashke and Shadol, Peres and Oshim are two different Gzeiros. And the Ramban, later in the Masechta, in Perek Ein Sodden, in the third Perek, so the Ramban and the Mohammed on the bottom of the Rith and Beitzah, he writes based on the other Gemara as if it's one big Zerah, the Ramban, not two different Zerahs. It's one big Zerah, any Malacha Shanasis Me'eleho, you're not allowed to get Hanor from it. That's really when we learned Masech HaShabbos. So the din is if a Nachri does Malacha Bishvil Yisro, let's say the boat landed, in order to get down from the boat, so you have to build a ramp. Now, when the plane lands, so they everything is made in such a way, they just move over the staircase, and all the planes are standard, and they move over the staircase, everybody can get down. In the days of the Tanoim, they had to build, every time a boat landed, they had to build a new ramp. So if they heard the chief rabbi is on the boat, and the boat landed on Shabbos, chief rabbi is on the boat, so the Goyim came and they built a special ramp that covered the chief rabbi. So Malach HaShanasas, Bishvil Yisrael, so he's not allowed to go down from the ramp. But if they didn't know the chief rabbi is there, there's a Mishnah in Shabbos, they didn't know the chief rabbi is there. They knew there were 150 passengers, and Rav of the passengers are Nachrim. And they made the ramp for everybody to go down. So since Rav of the passengers are Nachrim, you go Basar Rav, and it's considered as if the ramp was made, the Tzarech HaNachri. So Malacha Nachri Shas Malacha Bishvil Nachri is Mutalihanas, the Yisrael is Mutalihanas men. Nachri Shas Malachvil Bishvil Yisrael is also Lihanas Mimen. So remember when we learned that Gemara, Sir Absalavichik said, Ashaila, is it the Oyser is Nachri Shas Malacha Bishvil Yisrael? That's when it's Oyser. Or is it no? Even Malach Shenasis Melech will also be us at the end Hanoi. It's only Mutif, Nachri Shas Malach Bishvil Nachri. If the Malach was done Bishvil Nachri, then it's a Heter. Then Afkamin will be, if Malach Shenasis Melech, let's say the animal got trapped by itself, the animal fell into the net and it got trapped on Yontif. So that's Malach Shenasis Melech. So that's what the Ramban assumes. The Malach Shenasis Melech, or he assumes that it's not two different Xeris. He assumes it's one big zera against the Gemara at the beginning of Beitza. One big zera, and the zera even applies by Malachal Shanasis Me'elaha. Only time it's Mutter, Ak Meshasim Racha Bishvil Akum, then there's no zera. If Bishvil Anachri, then it's a Hetem. So that's the question that we raised. If we say, any Malachal Shanasis Me'elaha, Asili Son Lehanis Me'menu, so other people set up the Shabbos clock. And the light goes on Shabbos morning. You set the clock that the light should go on 10:30. You come home from shul at 11 o'clock in the morning and you make kiddush. So you get on off from the light. But nobody did the malacha b'shul Yisrael. But if you're all like this, Ramban, malacha shenasas me'leho, it's also lihonas b'menu. Nasa b'shul nachri is a matir. Then it's a matir. But a malacha shenasas me'leho is also, how can you get on off from the light? So the Pashtus, I think you have to say, that's not called Malach HaShanasas Me'elah. That's called the Yisrael set up the Malach on Erev Shabbos. That's Malach HaShanasas Me'erev Shabbos Lach HaZman. So on Shabbos, he doesn't violate the Yisra Malach because he can't violate Malach HaBishay Galtas. So I set up the Shabbos clock that the light should go on Shabbos morning. Shabbos morning, I'm in shul. At 10:30, I'm still davening. I'm walking home from shul. So there's no issa. I didn't violate any malacha. It's not called malacha shenasas me'elaha. Malacha shenasas me'elaha is if the behemoth fell into the net. Just because I set nets, it doesn't necessarily mean the behemoth is going to get caught in the net. If the behemoth will avoid it, so it won't happen. But the Shabbos clock, I plugged it into the electricity. I know the lights, it goes on every Shabbos at 10:30. I know the light's going to go on. So that's called Malach HaShanasis. They saw the Erev Shabbos. That's why it's Mutar Lihanas Memena. But it's not. That's not an example of Malach HaShanasis Me'eleho. There's Malach HaShanasis Me'erev Shabbos. That's why it's Mutar. There's a little more about the Kotzer. Okay, believe that next week we'll have to continue a little more. I'd just like to say a little comment on the Parsha. The Gemara has a concept of Eile Eile Divrei Elokim Chayim. What exactly does that mean? So the Gemara says, why is a psak of a Talmud Chacham binding? The Talmud Chacham is a human being. Human beings are all fallible. All human beings make mistakes. Moshe Rabbeinu made a mistake. In Parshas Shemini, he asks, Madu ala achalta masachatos? Why did they burn? Why did they burn the chatas for Shchedesh? They should have eaten it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said they should eat tzahar and explain, no, that was only on the chatas, on the Hayroah Shoah, not on the regular story of Shchedesh. Moshe Rabbeinu agreed with Aaron. He said, you're right, I made a mistake. So, we have an institution of Par Halam Dovah Shal Tzibur. Par Halam Dovah Shal Tzibur, I don't think it ever happened in the history of the world that all the 71 members of the Sanhedrin all agreed and they made a mistake in Psak Halacha and they allowed an Issa Kores. And the Reif HaTzibur in Eretz Yisrael, the Rov of the Jews living in Eretz Yisrael, violated the Issachoris B'Shoigei because they followed the Psak of the Bez Nagol. So instead of each and every individual person bringing his own Chatos, they said, let the Bez Nagol bring one Chatos, and everybody gets a Kapor with that. So did that ever happen in the history of the world? Probably never happened. But on the books, you have such a din, as if such a thing is possible. By the Obdei Avodah Zarah, they have a principle of infallibility. We don't have such a. The only one who's infallible is the Rabbanu Shalom. All human beings can make mistakes. So Moshe Rabbeinu made a mistake, and it's recorded in the Chumash. And the Paro no shotiba, I don't think it ever happened in the history of the world, but officially on the books there is such a possibility. So why is any psak of any Talmud Chacham ever binding? Maybe he's making a mistake. So the Gemara gives you the answer in the beginning of Saita, Daf Gimel, Daf Dalet. The Gemara says, the Gemara quotes a pasuk in Tehillim, Sod Hashem Liyareyov, Avrisa Lohodiyam. So Gemara understands, Sod Hashem Liyareyov, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will reveal the secrets of the Torah to those Talmid Chachamim who fear him. And that's why we assume that the Talmid Chacham didn't make a mistake, and that's why the psak is binding. So that's the question. How do you have the right to assume that psak is not an error? How can that be? Why? Because the Rebbe Shalom gave the Talmid Chacham a siyata d'shmaya that he shouldn't make a mistake. But Rebbe Lezer said one way and Rebbe Yeshua said the other way. Rebbe Lezer had a siyata d'shmaya to say in one direction. Rebbe Yeshua had a siyata d'shmaya to say in the other direction. So the Rebbe Shalom is talking out of both sides of his mouth at the same time. How can it be? So that's when the Gemara says, yes. How can that be? So there's a ritva, that Gemara, the original statement is about Bisham and Bisilo, and Eridin Yud Gimlam and Bey. So there's a ritva there at the end of the first parak in Eridin, on that Gemara. What does it mean, Eilu V'Devi L'Kim Chaim? So he explains it as follows. I was just in Eretz Yisrael for 4 weeks. So there was one time Chacham tried to get me. So he finally got me the last Matzoi Shabbos I was there. I left on Sunday night. Came back yesterday morning, Monday morning. So this Talmud Chacham got me, and he gave me an earful. He held me on the phone for 45 minutes. He was disagreeing in a very quick Hebrew. He was disagreeing with a lot of things that he saw in my sermon. Mm-hmm. So one of the things was about Eilu V'Eilu Divrei L'Kim Chaim. He didn't like what I quoted. So I quoted this ritva. The ritva says there in Erevin, what does it mean Eilu V'Eilu Divrei L'Kim Chaim? How can it be? What did the Rebbe Shalom say? So the Ritva says, when Moshe Rabbeinu was on Har Sinai, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was teaching him, for 40 days and 40 nights, he was teaching him all the Taryag Mitzvahs. So Moshe Rabbeinu said, what's going to be the din in this case? What's going to be the din in that case? So the Baruch Shalom says, no, in this case it's awesome. In that case it's mutter. What's going to be in this case? The third case, so the Baruch Shalom tells Moshe Rabbeinu, it's a great area of halacha, the elements of Isa, elements of Heter, the elements of Ptur, elements of Chiv, elements of Tum, the elements of Tara. And I leave it up to the discretion of the Chachmei HaTorah Shebechol Davador to determine whether they feel that the elements of Heta outweigh the elements of Isser or not. And this depends on their perspective. And you can have many different perspectives. They're all looking at the same body of information. And if one person looks with one perspective, he'll feel that the elements of Isser outweigh the elements of Heta. The other person has a different perspective, he'll feel the elements of Heter outweigh the elements of Issa. And it's possible to have different perspectives. Let's say, I always give the mashal, if you're sitting in a class all together, here we're sitting with Zoom, but if you're sitting in a classroom, so you have, let's say, 50 people in a classroom, so the one who's in the front of the classroom sees everybody with the light fixtures, with the tables and the chairs and everything, there's one perspective. One person sitting only in the back on the right side, one sitting on the left side, each one has a different perspective. They're all looking at the same thing, but each one has a totally different perspective. So that's why you can say, so this Talmid Chacham didn't agree with the Ritva. He doesn't like the Ritva. Why? Because he's assuming, like the Shita Sagainim, the Rambam in the Hakdama to Pirush HaMishnah is printed in the back of the Gemara Brachas, quotes from the opinion of the Gaonim. The Gaonim quoted the Midrashim. The Midrash has in a few places called Tam, called Mashat Talmud, Vasek Asir Lechadish Nemalel Moshe Misinai. Over the generation, whenever you have Talmud Chacham, who's knowledgeable, who's learned, so every single din in the Mishnah Brura was told to Moshe Ben Hasina. Every single din was told to Moshe Rabbeinu. So the question is, how can the question begs itself? If every single din was told to Moshe Rabbeinu, where is there room for machloikas? So the Gaonim say, all machloikas is based on shikha. They forgot what the tradition was. So the Rambam is very upset about that. This Talmid Chacham thought that that's what the Rambam said. He forgot. That's what the Rambam does not like. So this Talmid Chacham thought, every single din was told to Moshe Rabbeinu. And yet when you have a machlokes, it means that somebody forgot what the din is. I can say, Eilu V'Eilu Divrei L'Kim Chaim. So you had a whole different interpretation of everything. But we don't assume like that. The Ritva is assuming like the Rambam. The Gaonim were of the opinion that the Yud Gimel Midrash, Atar Nidrash, Hespan do not give you the ability to be Mechadish, to come up with a new Psak Halacha. The Yud Gimel Midrash are just a way of checking whether your tradition is correct or not. Every single din had a tradition on, and every Machlekes is a Machlekes. What was the tradition? And the Yud Gimel Midrash, you can't be Mechadish a new din. So the Rambam said, that's scandalous to say like that. The Chachamim forgot so much about tradition of what the din is. The most precious thing that we have is the Torah. And they forgot everything. There's a machlokes on every daf and shas. Every other din is multiple machlokes. So the Rambam says, not so. The text of the Chumash was given to Moshe Rabbeinu. He was given Midrash HaTorah and the Drash Hashem. The style, how to derive dinim, how to derive all the details of the dinim by reading in between the lines of the Chumash. And the Midrash HaTorah and the Drash Hashem are a way to be Mechadish new dinim, to figure out new details. And when you figure out the new details, they have the status of a din deraisa. But they're Mechadish the dinim. In fact, there's even a machlokes, we'd speak about it in different occasions. It's even a machlokes, the Chidur has a Sefer Megillas Rus that's called Simcha Sarego. There's over 80 Svarim, I think. There's a whole Sefer Megillas Rus. He quotes a machlokes Achrayim. When the Chachamim invent a new din derabbanan, that's a Gvina Sakum. So it's only also Mikanal Habor. The cheese that the Nachrim made yesterday, before they made Gzeira, that cheese remains Mutter. Only the cheese that they'll make Mikanal Habor will be also. So what about if the Chachamim come up with a new Drasha Deraisa, not a Gzeira Derabon, a new Drasha Deraisa? Do you assume the din was always so since Maimon HaSinai? Or do you say, no, since the Chachamim came up with the din today, so the din Deraisa only applies Mikanal Habor. So a lot of Achrayim assume like that. Chazanish seems to assume like that. The dinim deraisa only applied mikanal habor. The chachamim are mechadish the dinim deraisa. So that's where there's room for machlokes. It's not that every single din was told to Moshe Rabbeinu. We're trying to reconstruct what the din is. It's impossible to say, how can you say elu elu divu lekim chad? So you have to give a different, some funny explanation for elu elu. But if you assume like the Rambam, the machlokesin are not based on shikha. The machlokesin are based on the Yud Gimel Midrash, our method of establishing new din and that of the Raisa. And according to some Achrayim, the new din and that of the Raisa only annoying Mikanal Habo. They don't say it's a glory milson of Achrayim, that the din was always so since the days of Matan Torah. Yeah, this Talmid Chacham, he didn't like what I said, so he had to come up with a different interpretation. He had to come up with something much more difficult than what I said. We were discussing how come in Bais Rishon for 410 years they did Nisach Hayayim one way, and then the beginning of the Bais Sheni they changed it. How can they change it? So either one is right or the other one is right. How can it be? So I thought it'll be able to do with a Kimchai. And every generation, the Chachamim have a right to read the Pesukim Mechumish to determine how you're supposed to do Nisach Hayayim. This time Chacham had to come up with a whopper of a Chiddush, a fantastic Chiddush, that I don't think is correct. Anyway, so the Gemara comments on the pasuk that introduces the Aseres Hadibus. Dabra Elokim is Kol Hadvarim Ve'Elu Leimar. Where it says the word Kol means Elu Ve'Elu Divrei Elokim Chaim. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to learn Divrei HaMatirim, Divrei HaOisrim, Divrei HaMechayvim, Divrei HaPoitrim, Divrei HaMetamim, Divrei HaMetaharim, because everything is Dabra Elokim is Kol Hadvarim Ve'Elu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said Elu Ve'Elu Divrei Elokim Chaim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said everything in Harsin. So we should learn everything. And it's not only that it's Dibur L'Kim Chaim Yotze the Mitzvah Talmud Torah when you discuss Beisham HaShita. When you have Machlokes, and a lot of times you say it's considered a Sofik Koldehu, maybe the Din is talking like that. So a lot of times this Eilubel Dibur L'Kim Chaim is relevant to Halacha, not only for the purposes of the Mitzvah of Talmud Torah, it's Halacha Dibur HaMekel Ba'ovo. Even if Avelis is the right, Avelis Yamish and the right, it's still Salach the Ramekot Ba'ovum. Amotim Machaber Olof Harai is considered a Sofik Koldu, a Sofik Ardu B'chutz Lorenz is Mutter, as long as it's a Sofik Koldu. If you have an Elu B'Elu, that's considered a Sofik Koldu. It's not that there's one Emes that was told to Moshe Rabbeinu, and they're all debating what was told to Moshe Rabbeinu. You can only have a Machlekes where it wasn't told to Moshe Rabbeinu. That's what the Rambam disagrees with the Goyim. It says in every generation, the Chum have the right to darshan with the Yud Gimel Midrash, because we assume the Dina were not told to Moshe Rabbeinu. So in every generation, there's wiggle room. That's why there's a need for a Torah Shabbat. that makes it, the Torah Shebaal Peh makes it possible for the Torah to fit in every generation. Okay, Belinetta, next week we'll have to continue with some more details. Shin Lamed Vav. Then we'll move on to the next Malachim. Okay, Shiro Bihar.
Shiro, welcome back.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you. Yosha Koch, and thank you.